Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Arizona moving on indictments about the 2020 election. These people moved to overturn the election in Arizona. And Rudy Giuliani is listed. Mark Meadows, former chief of staff, former congressman, is listed. Trump is not. Donald Trump is not one of the people indicted. He is described as unindicted co-conspirator number one. Well, these days, who isn't? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Jenna Ellis is listed. Former Trump attorney Christina Bob. John Eastman, also listed.
So I once did Fox Business in studio of Charles Payne's show, and it was with Jenna Ellis. And Jenna Ellis was next to me, and the only thing I thought was, man, she talks a lot. It's the only thing that I taught. She might be a very nice person. I never understood why I was supposed to be in her corner. I still don't. I don't. She made a decision to go about a tactic. She deals with the results. She got left for dead, thrown under a bus, whatever. I'm sorry, is this your first rodeo? You didn't know that was the... Innocent until proven guilty, of course, because I personally look at someone and say, yeah, I don't get why this has a fan base. Doesn't mean that there isn't a fan base. The question is, did they actually do anything wrong? Indictment doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It, in today's America, indictment means you're probably over the target. Meanwhile, Supreme Court going to engage the arguments, they're going to make a decision today, about whether or not a former president can be charged for things done when president. That's the case in front of the Supreme Court. Those oral arguments starting at 10 a.m. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be popcorn. And then I'm going to be breaking those down on Tony Katz today at noon. William Jacobson, Cornell law professor, legalinsurrection.com. He'll be with me to do that. So that's yesterday. This is today. And of course, on a college campus near you, total insanity. Although we've seen dumb in the state of Indiana, we haven't seen insanity. Is there a reason for that? Is there a reason this is only happening in certain areas, certain places? Or is this just something that's about to grow? It's a question about how these universities work and why anybody would defend them. Why would anybody think these places have value? I mentioned the other day, a pro tip for recruiters and employers. These aren't the schools to look for employees. And someone said, oh, great, just throwing out everybody because of a few people. Honestly, yeah, I am, and I will explain it. More than happy to do so. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Your new car, your new truck, that comes from Andy Moore Ford in Plainfield, and they've got everything that you want. The cars, the trucks, the SUVs, and then, of course, the electric vehicles. The Mustang Mach-E, you could save.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Up to...
were chanting was Free Palestine. How is that anti-Semitic?
You'll forgive me that I almost right there in my mouth. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. That is Aaron Burnett on CNN speaking to the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who went to Columbia University amongst the boos and the madness of the vicious, vicious anti-American, certainly anti-Israel, certainly anti-Semitic, certainly anti-humanity zealots. These Hamas supporters, these terrorism supporters, they are what they are, what they are. And he was saying, you're not alone. Showing a bit of strength. Some people didn't like it. I ain't worried about those people. Not worried about those people at all. But is Aaron Burnett asking a legitimate question here?
The main thing they were chanting was Free Palestine. How is that anti-Semitic?
Well, if this is the way she's going to be, I mean, that's just pretty pathetic. But let's answer the question. And to do that, let's break it down.
Now it's time for a breakdown.
Breakdown. Go ahead, give it to me. Breakdown, honey, take me through the night. Breakdown.
How is it anti-Semitic? Free Palestine. Allow me to take a stab at this. This should be interesting. The first question for Aaron Burnett is, could something mean something else? Is it possible that there is a statement or a slogan that, even though said, doesn't mean anything related to the actual words, but something else? You want to play the part of literalist in this conversation. How is Free Palestine anti-Semitic? If we're going to be a literalist, or as we would talk about former or late Justice Antonin Scalia, textualist, right? The Constitution says what it says and doesn't say what it doesn't say. Free Palestine. Can you show me on a map where Palestine is? No, I'll wait. Can you show me on a map where Palestine is? What is it's not there? Well, it is if I'm in Rashida Tlaib's office. It's not there. So what possibly could they be talking about if they're screaming Free Palestine and there isn't a Palestine? If you're going to ask the absolutely obtuse question of how is that anti-Semitic, and not grapple with the fact that Palestine doesn't exist on a map, well, I don't know how you square that circle. Right from the start, your entire argument falls apart. Because the question is nonsensical. To ask how is it anti-Semitic is to pretend that you don't have any context to what it is that's happening. Free Palestine is a call to destroy Israel. That Israel should not exist and that Palestine should. That Israel is an occupying force and that Palestine is what should remain. Should we discuss that there was nothing there before the Israelis started making it happen? There was nothing there. I think it was during the Boer War, B-O-E-R. So this is the late 1800s, early 1900s. You had Winston Churchill, former prime minister, the man who saved Great Britain, an egomaniac. We should be totally clear that Churchill was a guy who loved Churchill. And when he was a young soldier, he would send dispatches back to generals or to higher-ups. And what he would do, I mean, he was also doing reporting for the Morning Post, things like that. Not only would he do his reporting, he would send back missives to these higher-ups, to these people up the military chain. And he would discuss the fact that in this land, Palestine, there was nothing there. In his letters, as has been written about, there is nothing there. There's no there there. There's no development. There's no zero. So when you push this idea of Palestine, you're pushing an idea of A, there was nothingness. B, the Israelis, those who came, made it something. And now what? Now your plan is, okay, now that it's been built up, these other people get it? Now another question. Who are these other people? The name Palestinian was given, but that doesn't mean there's an actual connection to the land. You can go through every single citizen and see where the connection is. Free Palestine is a call to genocide. That's all it's ever been. That's all it will ever be. It's a call to kill every Jew and every Israeli. It's a call for destruction and death. That's what it's a call for. From people who do not have some claim, but rather a desire through either a religious ideology or other ideology to destroy Jews. That's it. This isn't difficult. It is what it is. But remember, when you take a look at the protesters, they will tell you they see it differently. How do they see it? Well, Israel is the oppressor, and therefore white, and white is bad. Oh, you don't believe me. Okay, I'll prove that.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Whenever I'm out a wandering, chasing a rainbow dream, I often stop and think about a place I've never seen.
Today in the marketplace, it's a Zippo, and it's very cool, but it's crazy expensive. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. During the breaks, some people are driving to work, some people are using the restroom. I clear my head, get ready for what I want to get into next, checking out what news stories are out there, anything breaking, and I just clear my head a little bit. And to do that, I usually end up at like Facebook Marketplace. Take a look at what people are selling. I look at cars. I look at furniture. I look at cigar stuff. I look at all sorts of weird things. Someone is selling a Zippo. So that's the lighter, right? The classic sound. To bing, right? Fantastic. But this is a Zippo that commemorates the moon landing 1969. Now, this is out of Shelbyville. And they say this is the last design of the town and country method used for printing. I'm not familiar with the printing. I wasn't familiar with the lighter. It's very cool. It is a very, very cool graphic they have on the Zippo. This comes in the original box. It's $300 plus shipping. Matt Bear, do you have $300 for a Zippo? That's a no. Matt Bear is very busy noticing that he does not have $300 for a Zippo.
This is true.
Yeah, you got to want the collection bad. $300?
I mean, that's a light bill.
Right? So that's the light bill?
It can be.
Do you leave the lights on all the time?
Oh, man, I'm afraid of the dark. I can't do it.
Are you? By the way?
I mean, I leave a globe on. I have a globe in my bedroom I leave on all the time, you know.
Oh, I have a nightlight. I'm not embarrassed. Screw you all. I'm keeping the monsters away. That's called being responsible. I don't want to hear it.
I mean, I'm a Gen Xer as a lady. I saw Freddy Krueger when I was a kid. I need to.
Yeah, it happens.
To, yeah.
It happens. For me, I saw a television show called That's Incredible.
That's incredible. I don't remember.
It was That's Incredible. And they did a story about spontaneous combustion. Oh, you know what that is?
Yeah, it's where you just blow up.
Yeah. And I think I saw that when I was 8, and it still haunts me to today.
Well, that would haunt you until today.
Still does. So thank you, television. So there are people selling this kind of lighter for like $125, and then there are people selling this lighter for over $400. So I have no idea what pricing is. All I know is it's a cool piece of Americana. The box alone is the cool piece of Americana. The Zippo Moon Landing 1969 lighter. It is there. It's out of Shelbyville, and it is there on Facebook Marketplace. So feel free to go get that from the Marketplace. And if you want to give a gift to this year, thanks. Thanks.
Well, think about whipping that out in a bar and lighting a woman's cigarette with that. I mean, that's some class and style.
Right, because that still happens in America.
Yeah. Any bar you go to.
So, right, they're just whipping out cigarettes.
and Zippos. Great, what a country. What a time we live in.
You got anything else?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I don't know where I missed this, but I stopped everything. I did. Threw out what I was going to get into, which is how the Biden administration really, really doesn't want you to have power for your home. This move on coal emissions, that these plants have to capture 90% of the emissions or they'll be shut down. This isn't Congress. This is the EPA acting in a radical manner, engaging in regulatory insanity that will end power. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. This is nuts. But somehow I missed this talk about capital gains. The Biden administration, without saying it out loud, this come from their fiscal year 2025 revenue proposals, wants to raise the capital gains tax rate to 44.6? What the? I have to be reading it wrong. The proposal is to raise the long-term capital gains and qualified dividend rate to 37% for taxpayers with taxable incomes over $1 million. So the 44.6% number comes together when it applies to certain individuals and certain investment income. Now you say to me, well, that's not me, so it doesn't matter. It matters to the ideas Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, describes it, of capital formation. People don't invest in large grand scale. And therefore, they're not investing in what? Your business. No growth. It stops. Because what's the point? They'll put their money other places. What in the world am I looking at? And I've got a Forbes article here. It's like, it's not no need for such a alarm. I think that it's a horrific idea, and any time you allow these people the ability to move, in these directions, they never go, what? The other direction. Never. Oh. Oh, I am going to break this down. I'm going to see if Dr. Will's available a little bit later in the show. What is with the hate of business? What is with the hate of investment? What is with the hate of the American citizen wanting to get ahead? Why is it that the political left really hates these people? And I have been making this argument now for at least a year. It's got to be more than a year at this point, guys. I do not know why the Democratic Party hates Black Americans, but they do. It's the first generation of Black Americans in a large number that is going to have wealth to leave to their children and grandchildren. And here's the Democratic Party, which they're told if they don't support their traitors, finding more ways to tax them and take their wealth. Why don't they want Black Americans to be able to leave wealth for their grandchildren? I'm sorry, that's bigoted. Vote Republican. Like that. Don't ask me how Republicans haven't figured out how to talk, because they don't know how. Because this would involve saying the words Black Americans, and Republicans are so unbelievably scared of saying those words. Please don't call me racist. You're having an honest conversation about economics. The first generation en masse Black Americans able to leave money to their children and grandchildren, and here's the Democratic Party, 44.6%, and you say, it's not a big deal. It doesn't affect me, and I'll make that kind of money. It affects the idea that they think that the money is theirs, that they take this fair share nonsense, and they start putting in all these places. Eventually, it must trickle down, because fair share means anything at any time. So now, I speak solely to Black Americans. This government wants to take its fair share from what you have earned and saved to give to your grandchildren, to give them a better shot. Vote accordingly. You think there are real differences between black and white? No, 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 no. There's differences only in the gray matter, the ideology that moves people. And these people over here, these lefties, have got an ideology that says, hate you and take your money. You know what my ideology is? You keep your money. Let's have a cigar. Leave it for your kids. They deserve it. Your kids are more important than the government. That's mine. Choose.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Bus fire was not the bus. As per the reporting and an arrest, it was arson. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. The phone number, 317-239-9393. This is why you don't make assumptions. You wait. First, was everybody okay? It was Matt Bear who got the footage from an eagle-eyed listener, someone who follows WIBC traffic on X, of this Indigo bus, red line, completely engulfed in flame. Incredible video that we got first here at WIBC. This was Meridian and 38th, next to the station. As has been now reported, there is a suspect, a 45-year-old, has been charged with two counts of arson, damage more than $5,000, which is a level 4 felony, according to Fox 59, and one count of arson endangering human life, which is a level 4 felony. The report is that this person had a bottle that was filled with gasoline or an accelerant, threw it on the ground, lit it on fire, ran out of the bus. They, according to first reports, suffered minor burns. There were six people on the bus total. They all got out. That's how I had the reporting, that it's possible that that will change. And everybody was safe, which is good and incredible. And the story itself is nuts. Why is somebody doing this on a bus? We've got the story also at WIBC.com, so you can check it out there, including that original video of the fire. I know my issues with the red line. A terrible idea. Blue line, purple line, this is not value for the city of Indianapolis, taking up these traffic lanes. Not at all. Electric buses that don't work. I have said it. I will not apologize for a single word that I have said. I have been proven correct at every turn. When a bus is on fire, I'm not looking to go, ha ha. I'm looking to say, oh, damn, is everybody okay? The responsible course is the right one. I'm glad everybody's okay. I want to know much more about this madness. Guy tried to set a bus on fire. Why? Now, there is something about safety protocols about what takes place on a bus. Well, it would be interesting to hear how Indigo kind of looks at that, because look, they're going to run buses. I'm not even if I wanted to get rid of all the buses, I would never win that battle. What are the safety protocols in a situation like this? What level of training do drivers have? I mean, that's a fine question. That's not an attack question. You got to plan for these things. Crazy things do happen, not just somebody trying to commit arson. So this is an ugly story. And I only hope we will learn, to the extent that it can be, what brought this about. I'm glad everybody's okay. That could have been very, very ugly. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey, good morning. Yesterday, I was having a conversation about NASA spending $3 billion to get to Saturn's moon Titan and whether or not this should be the role of government. And I admit clearly, freely, that my love of NASA and exploration, it goes counter to my desires for a small, streamlined federal government. I get that on this one subject, I am a hypocrite. I get it. I love it. Can't get enough of it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. But I can make the argument, and did yesterday, that when you take a look at China's moves on the moon, for example, that space is going to be weaponized. Space is going to be utilized. And there is an argument to be made for government involvement. You can argue that the space race empowered and emboldened the nation. I'm talking about the days of Kennedy. We can discuss the stagnation and then maybe no need for it because private industry could do it better, whether it be SpaceX or Blue Marble, et cetera. And now you take a look at what China's doing. You're like, we should be involved. Then there's this. Russia vetoes a UN resolution calling for the prevention of a dangerous nuclear arms race in space. China abstained, Russia opposed in the 15-member Security Council. It's interesting that this happened after I had done this story, because it proves the thesis. You don't want to weaponize space. You think it's crazy. I hear you. I don't think that you are wrong for believing that. I should say it differently. You have absolutely every right to believe that. But Russia and China are still going to do it. They're going to do it. I have no reason to think that India won't get there. So now what's the plan? And not only are Russia and China going to do it, they stated so. The abstention is the voting no, and they didn't have to because China, because Russia, possibly their proxy in this conversation, voted no. Just be aware, this is what's going on. This is what is happening. And so, yes, I do support the federal government paying attention, and I do support the federal government being engaged because it is a national security issue. I'm more than willing to debate it anywhere. The popcorn moment, let's do the thing! It's the story you need to hear to believe, then grab your popcorn because there is more. I think I'll hit more on Erin Burnett's pearl-clutching nonsense over there at CNN, which it involves a very, very interesting type of turn where when Democrats do something, it's moral. When Republicans do something, well, why are you doing that? Erin Burnett of CNN asking the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, why do you need to get involved with the removal of a president of a private university, in this case, calling for the resignation of President Shafiq over there at Columbia University? You would a question that would never be asked to somebody on the political left. It's another great example of where these so-called news outlets are. But in Tennessee, they voted to allow teachers to carry a firearm. They passed the bill allowing teachers and school staff to be armed. This is Representative Justin Jones. He was one of the guys who he was taken out of his position in the House and then got reinstated by the people. Oh, everybody's a bigot, everybody's a racist. This is his entire argument. Finger on the dumb button just in case, because I may have missed some part of it. But he wants you to know that the idea of an armed teacher, morally insane, which it's not.
This bill is morally insane because a year after a mass shooting took the lives of 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults, this is the response of my Republican colleagues not to pass red flag laws, not to pass universal background checks or a ban on assault weapons, not safe storage laws, but to expand firearms and put more guns in our schools. When the teachers of my district, the teachers of Tennessee, are saying we want to be armed with supplies and books and fair pay, not with firearms. I mean, this bill is insanity, and it just goes to show that we are working with a Republican supermajority here in Tennessee that puts the lives of our children beneath the campaign contributions of the gun industry. That is morally insane. That is shameful. That is unacceptable.
That anybody in Tennessee votes for this man is the thing that is insane, shameful, and unacceptable. You don't have to carry a firearm, and none of it has to do with supplies or fair pay. Fair pay. You catch that, right? It means nothing. But it is the line of people who are progressives who desperately want to, well, take from you fair pay. Doesn't mean anything. Just a nonsense statement. You will have armed guards to protect a jewelry store, but not a school. That's the argument in response. What's your move? Well, we shouldn't have to do that. Oh, I agree, but we live in this world. Well, if we got rid of all the guns, that's not going to happen because you don't have a mechanism to take them. So go try, Representative Justin Jones of Tennessee. Go try and take the guns. You know what? Just start with Tennessee. Let's see how you do. I'll watch. Tell me how you're going to take them. But you see, I know how you're going to do it from law-abiding citizens, You're going to put a gun to their head and tell them they can't see their children until they give up the guns. That's what you're going to do, you monster. How are you going to get the guns from the people who are criminals? How is that going to work? But that's not the only story out there. The other one is that Bill Barr, the former attorney general who Trump hates, he's endorsing Trump.
Yeah, well, I've said, yeah, the choice now is a binary choice between these two candidates. And of the two, I support President Trump. And one of the reasons is because I think many of our critical problems, including the regulation, crime, restoring law and order, restoring control over our borders, rebuilding our defense in this increasingly dangerous world, standing by our allies. I trust President Trump to do that much more so than President Biden, I think. And I also worry very much that in the batting circle with Joe Biden is Vice President Kamala Harris. I feel that under these circumstances, the Republicans have to win in November.
This is the Bill Barr that Donald Trump has referred to as weak and lazy and lethargic. I read a post where Trump was thanking him for the endorsement and that because of it, he'll take away lethargic. Good God, we live in this country. I think Bill Barr is explaining how a lot of people feel. Trusting Joe Biden? Trusting Joe Biden? Pause, Joe Biden. Oh, you didn't hear pause. Don't worry. I'll share that with you coming.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Right. IndyCar, where Team Penske takes a punch to the face with Joseph Newgarden, who got the victory at St. Petersburg, and Scott McLaughlin getting disqualified for utilizing something called push to pass. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. The question is, A, what in the bloody world is it? And B, was this oversight? Was this cheating? They're implementing this now, taking away the victory. It changes certainly points totals, but does it change how people view Team Penske and how they view the rest of the season? Kurt Darling joins us. He is our man at the track, of course, from the WIBC newsroom, but the man follows racing like it's his job. Let's start with the basics, Kurt Darling. What in the bloody world is pushed to pass? What's the problem with it? And what did Team Penske do here?
So the basic premise of push to pass, Tony, is in a nutshell, they have drivers have a button on their steering wheel and they can push it, and it basically gives them an extra boost of horsepower in order to enable them to make a pass around an opponent, thus push to pass. And it's also heavily regulated by IndyCar, and you only have about 200 seconds worth of push to pass. So if you hold it down, however many seconds you push it down is how many seconds you burn off of that push to pass that you have available. Well, IndyCar regulates that. And in the case of this particular instance right here, Tony, IndyCar has been testing the new hybrid engine that they're likely going to implement later on this year. Well, they did some testing in the practice at St. Petersburg, in which they allowed drivers to have push to pass in certain instances of that practice. Well, when Penske was then getting back into race trim, based on what the statements from Team Penske says, it seems like in essence, the engineers forgot to take this particular software for the hybrid engine out of their current race day setup, which is not allowed, and thus it gave Newgarden, McLaughlin, and Will Power the ability to have push-to-pass on starts and restarts. Now, you're not allowed to use push-to-pass on starts and restarts in a race day setting at the moment, and it was found that Newgarden and McLaughlin did use the push-to-pass on restarts and starts in St. Petersburg because it was indicated that it was available to them. Now, Will Power had the presence of mind not to use his push to pass because he knew that that's the rule, that you can't use it on starts and restarts. So Will Power only got dinged 10 points in the overall championship, but Newgarden and McLaughlin, because they used that push to pass, got disqualified from the race.
Now, this is where it gets interesting, Kurt, because even if the software should not have been there, right? That's a fault of the engineers. Sure, fine, great. I don't quite accept it myself, but neither here nor there. Talking to Kurt Darling from the WIBC newsroom, our man at the track. If you know that you're not allowed to use it on starts and restarts, and Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin are using it on starts and restarts, that's a problem. Why is the heat on them, or is the heat on Team Penske?
A little bit of both, Tony, because A, remember, the drivers have the indication that push to pass is made available to them. So out of habit, if it's available to them, they are going to use it. The problem here is that their software, because they had that software on there, it had the indication that it was available on the starts and restarts. So if you're a driver and you're used to seeing, hey, it's available, okay, I'm going to use it. Well, it came down to a presence of mind thing, which is illustrated from Will Power. He knew and remembered the rule that you're not supposed to have, you're not supposed to use push to pass on starts and restarts, so he didn't use it. So it's kind of chalked up to, well, it was indicated available, so therefore, out of force of habit, Newgarden and McLaughlin probably used it. But at the same time, it shouldn't have been indicated that it was made available. So it's kind of on the driver for kind of forgetting the rule, but at the same time, it's also on the team for making sure that they had the right parameters available to them and that the directions were clear for the driver to understand at that particular juncture.
All right, even I'm not buying that. How is this going to be seen in the paddock? How is this going to be seen as you start heading into the month of May, the Sancio Grand Prix, to which we have tickets to give away coming up. Stick around for that and for the Indy 500.
Well, it's basically kind of like, okay, this happened. We're going to be moving forward. That's basically the indication of it. There hasn't been any talk from Newgarden at all. He's maintained radio silence on all social media platforms when it comes to this issue. Of course, Tim Cindric, he made the statement saying that it was basically an oversight on their part and they're accepting the penalty. Scott McLaughlin, though, he said on Twitter that, yeah, I made a mistake in using the push to pass, but I still don't think I gained a competitive advantage by using it, even though there's been a bunch of videos saying that there's been a lot of really easy overtakes that they had at St. Pete's. So that's kind of how it's being taken in the paddock. But at the moment right now, basically everybody's just moving forward, getting ready for Barber this weekend. Pato Award now credited the winner for St. Petersburg. And basically it's made a big shift in the points as well, because now Scott Dixon is the championship leader in the points. Newgarden had the lead before that race was taken away from him. He is now down in 11th on the point standing, so he has a lot of ground to make up. So, as you said, kind of a big punch in the face for Team Penske there as far as the championship points are concerned.
Kurt Darling from the WIBC newsroom, our man at the track. I appreciate you breaking it down. You're going to hear a lot more from Kurt as we get ready for the month of May. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Joe Biden making news yesterday for all the wrong reasons. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Great to be with you. 317-239-9393, that's how you get to be a part of the show. I say to you, without any hesitation, that there is simply no possible way that we're going to see Joe Biden as the nominee. They can run me all the stories they want. Donald Trump's poll numbers plummet with independents. they're flocking to Joe Biden, are they? Is this what you want me to believe? This was Joe Biden yesterday. In a speech he was giving, he's utilizing the teleprompters. And at one moment, he looks directly at the teleprompter. He's looking directly at it. And he is doing what he does. He's reading. Not sure what he's reading, but he's reading. And this is what the President of the United States says.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause.
Let's forget the cheering for a second. What just happened there?
Four more years. Pause. Four more years. Pause. 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 Pause.
He's reading off the teleprompter, and it said pause. Pause for the applause. Four more years, and the President of the United States reads pause.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
That's what happened. That's what happened. He doesn't know what he's reading. He doesn't know what he's saying. This is elder abuse. It's disgusting. And anybody who thinks the country is safer with him in charge is out of their mind. Just wrong. I didn't ask you if you like Trump. I don't actually care. Why? What? You don't like him, don't vote for him. Fine. But if you think that Joe Biden is better for the country, how can you possibly think this? That's impossible.
Four more years. Pause.
You don't get to make that argument. Take that weak sauce and shove it. You're just a ridiculous child, not you, them, if you're going to say that. This isn't okay. And it just puts me back in the camp where I've been this whole time. Biden will not be the nominee. Nope. If Biden is the nominee, Democrats are saying they had nobody else. Nobody else. And that is nuts. I'll get into more of it on Tony Katz today at noon.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
So that's the so-called protesters outside of Columbia. We don't want no two states. We want all of it. Does anybody actually think this is about the poor people of Gaza? On the campus of Harvard, on the campus of Yale, Columbia, NYU. Is this what we think? Who buys into this? You would have to be Representative Ocasio-Cortez ignorant to buy more into this. Representative Ocasio-Cortez putting out on X, not only did Columbia make the horrific decision to mobilize the NYPD on their own students, but the units called in have some of the most violent reputations on the force. You see, it's not the problem that you have Columbia students keeping people from walking because they're Jewish or screaming for genocide. No. The problem is the cops. That's how progressive Representative Ocasio-Cortez and her squad are, supported by Andre Carson right here in Indianapolis. This is who they are. My goodness, weren't the riots for George Floyd so much fun? Let's find a way to do it again. Oh, look, here's the moment. Blame the cops for going in? No, no, no. The cops in New York should be acting more like the cops in Texas on the University of Texas Austin campus, arresting everybody in sight. Tony, are you arresting people for anti-Semitism? Do you really think that's what's happening? Because that's a silly notion. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. No, I don't arrest people for being Jew-hating bigots. That's crazy talk. But for trying to control a campus, for stopping people from engaging in movement, engaging in screams of genocide, which are harassment, which we wouldn't accept in any other form, yeah, I'll arrest you for that. And I'll do it with force. This isn't protest. That's not what we're seeing here. I would like grown-ups. And I'm not interested in people on the political right pretending that they're too smart for the room. It is what it is. And if you want to look at it this way, the political left will go after you if you're on the political right for speaking on a college campus. But they can scream for genocide and keep people from moving, keep professors from entering, and somehow you're just supposed to take it? Only a schmuck would do that. And the pseudo-intellectualism I get from some people on the political right is nasty. Of course you don't accept this stuff. Of course a campus should maintain control. What they really should do is get rid of the students. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. None of them are welcome. None of them are wanted. None of them are worthwhile. None of them should be hired. But how do you do that when this is exactly what the professors are building? The people that these universities hired. This brings about another story. Another story about why this happens in certain universities and not others. I will get to that. I promise to get to that. Meanwhile, Joe Biden really wants your money. These ideas for capital gains, oh, this is a problem. Dr. Matt Will joins us next to discuss it. I'm Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So what in the world is this? This conversation about Joe Biden suggesting that the capital gains rate should be 44.6%. What is this that the White House is describing an idea of a 25% tax on unrealized capital gains? Can I ask what in the world is going on? Tony Katz, good to be with you. Dr. Matt Will joins us right now, economist at the University of Indianapolis. I missed this because it kind of came through almost as an afterthought in some conversations the White House has been having. First, let's take the 1-2. What is the capital gains rate? And secondly, what is Joe Biden actually proposing here?
Well, the capital gains rate is the amount of taxes that you pay when you sell something you own. So you sell your house and it increased in value. Let's say you work at Eli Lilly and you've been getting your 401k match in stock. You sell the stock because you're retired and you need it to live on. You have to pay a tax on that. It's not a tax on your income. It's a tax on the stuff that you own and you simply sell. That's a capital gains tax rate.
So now you have the White House making this proposal. Now, the proposal is not 44.6% across the board. This really does, it seems, either depend on income or depend on the deal. How does this apply?
Okay, let's be careful. It applies to income, but they've redefined income. they've redefined income. It's 256 pages of tax increases. Let me say that again. 256 pages of tax increases. And they redefine income as anything that you get. Anything coming in the door. Income, capital gains, profits from a business you own, or your retirement check. Even if you're not working, anything that you get. So they want to charge you 44.6%. But that's not just on capital gains. There's a little trick that I noticed when I was reading through this. It includes dividends. So I'm going to use a Lilly example. You're a Lilly retiree. You've been getting paid in Lilly stock all these years. You finally retire. You have zero income, but you have to cash out your Lilly stock. And it's quite valuable. And you can retire and you can live on it for the rest of your life. Maybe not, because now you have to pay a 44.6% tax because you might very well be over the income threshold.
Talking to Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, we should be clear that the 44.6% is the top rate. That doesn't apply to everybody, or am I reading it wrong? And it actually does.
So it is the top rate, but I'll say again, they redefine income so that you may think you're not in the top rate, but you might be. They defined high income as $1 million, and then in other sections, $400,000, and in another section, $250,000. This is still in the rulemaking stage, which means when the final thing comes out, it could be worse. Remember 2 years ago, Biden promised us 1% tax on all stock repurchases. So if a company gives you profits in the stock in the form of a stock repurchase, you pay a 1% tax. Oh, it'll never go up. This is it. This is the end of the line. It's only for rich people. Guess what? This proposal makes it 4% for everybody in the country. I will say it right now on the air. President Biden lied. He lied to the average person, the low-income person, when he said 1% only for rich people. This proposal is 4% for everybody. Everybody.
One of the other conversations is the idea of a tax on unrealized capital gains, as being described. 25% is in this budget idea. What is an unrealized capital gain, and how would a tax of 25% affect everyday Americans?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, let me be very clear. I don't see that in the proposal. I've read through it, and I'm not sure if that is exactly what's in here. But an unrealized capital gain is when you just own your house and it goes up in value and you have to pay taxes on the increase in value. You own an investment because you're saving money for your retirement. You're working on the factory floor at some company and that value goes up. You have to pay taxes on the amount of the increase, even if you don't sell it, even if it's not income, even if you don't realize a profit, you still have to pay a tax. So they will confiscate wealth, assets that you own. You may not even know they went up in value, but you got to pay a tax on it.
So the question in all of these taxes and all of these conversations is, how does it affect me living in central Indiana, living somewhere in the Midwest? How does it affect me because I don't have those kinds of investments? I don't have that kind of wealth. Is this something I should be concerned with? Does it come down to my level?
Okay, there's a lot there, but I'll try to make two simple parts. One is, you work for a business, a small business. We didn't talk about it yet, but in this proposal, there's a significant increase in taxes on small business owners. So you work for a small business. Your small business owner has to pay a significant increase in taxes. Don't you think that's going to impact your income or whether or not you even have a job? Can they afford to keep you? So that's one area. The second is, in 1913, the federal government passed a constitutional amendment saying 1% income tax only on rich people. Oh, the poor people, the middle income people said, nah, it's not going to affect us. It's only going to affect the rich people. I think everybody listening today pays income taxes. So the government lied when they said only 1% and only on the rich. And now everybody pays income taxes. This is the tip of the iceberg. Last year, it was, 2 years ago, was the small tip. And all of a sudden, now we have a 256-page tax increase. It will come after you, people. It will come after you.
But this is from the White House. This isn't what the House of Representatives is looking at. This is the Democrats stating, like, hey, this is where our standard should be. Is there an appetite for this in Congress?
No, not at all. I don't think anyone in the House of Representatives is interested in this. But you're the political expert, Tony. You tell me, don't you think that they're going to use this as a weapon during the election? Oh, tax the rich people, tax the rich people. And then don't you think that they're probably going to use this in the shutdown government and blame the Republicans and the Republicans may cave?
Oh, 1,000%. But I was saving that for later.
Oh, well, my apologies.
Thank you. Look at you, jumping right ahead. That is Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis. The ideas come and the ideas grow and get morphed and get changed. And remember, it's not about tax the rich. It's about people paying their fair share. Dr. Will, I appreciate you. I have got two tickets to the Sancio Grand Prix on May 11th. I will take the 11th caller, 317-239-9393. The 11th caller, two tickets to the Sancio Grand Prix, May 11th at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Doug Bowles will personally give you a foot rub. Wait, hold on. This just in. He will not give you a foot rub. But the tickets are still cool. The 11th caller, 317-239-9393. If Doug Bowles is busy, Matt Bear will do it.
Yeah, I'm
Matt
fine.
Bear will do it. And Matt, while we're giving away these tickets, just a question. Found on Facebook Marketplace, a 1986 convertible Chrysler LeBaron in blue.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Right?
Yeah. Perfect race weather as we get into May. I think that'd be fun to drive around and be like, look at me. Look
right.
Look at how hot I am in this convertible.
Here. I'm telling you, this is possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How much was that again?
They're asking $4,000 or best offer.
Oh, I'm out. Okay, never mind. Yeah. Man can do it.
So I guess you're not going in on this with me?
I mean, I have student loan debt I can give you.
No. Nah.
No.
Biden
no.
hasn't paid that off yet?
No, he won't even look at me. I'm begging.
Oh, wow. Because if you're getting student loan debt relief, then I'm okay with it. But if you're not, this whole plan is a bunch of hooey.
If I'm getting student loan debt relief, there is no God. That's
wow.
pretty much how I feel about
heavy.
It. Yeah, the ouch.
Right there. Know? Went full Christopher Hitchens on me.
I can't go on after that.
That's a thing.
I'm going home.
So 11th caller, 317-239-9393, gets two tickets to the Sancio Grand Prix at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway May 11th. Matt is questioning the existence of gods. So you can talk.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
To him about
how bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures down 241. NASDAQ down 193 because the GDP increase far less than expected. GDP, gross domestic product, 1.6%. The economists were looking for 2.4. We will get into this on Tony Katz today. We are following right now reports, as Matt Bear told you, Meridian closed northbound and southbound in front of the governor's mansion because of protesters. These would be pro-Hamas protesters. Protest is valuable and important and worthy in the United States. And protest from American citizens, no matter how misguided, should be allowed. Anybody blocking traffic should be arrested and force should be utilized. And the governor, Eric Holcomb, should immediately call for every bulldozer we have to clear the roads. No protester has the right to stop traffic. If they get run over, that's what happens. If they get hurt, that's what happens. Because they did not honor any level of a social contract. Protest is allowed. Disrupting the rights of others is not, and it should be met with force. In case you don't know my name, it's Tony Katz, K-A-T-Z. I said what I said, and I meant every word, and I apologize to no one. Governor Holcomb needs to utilize the moment to be resolute. There is no engaging with people who are willing to tell other people they cannot move. There is no rationalizing with people who tell others they cannot freely maneuver. None. The fact that these people support genocide, the fact that these people want me dead for the blood that runs through my veins, inconsequential to the basic concept. We allow protest. This is valuable. Blocking traffic should be met with equal force, stopping the blocking of traffic and ensuring that Hoosiers can move freely. There is nothing else. And if the city of Indianapolis does not move on this now, to end this now, then to hell with each and every one of them. Mayor Hogsett's going to allow more traffic to be blocked in his city? I don't care if he agrees with the protesters or not. That's not the point. Hoosiers get to move freely. And if Hoosiers can't move freely and the mayor does nothing about it, to hell with the mayor and his bigoted city county council. The communist-loving freaks that they are anyway. Now, you tell me there are six Republicans on that council, but hey, you know, they don't talk much. This is not about the right to protest. This is about whether or not we're going to allow the destruction of the social contract and madness. And if the mayor and the governor allow this, to hell with them. Republican, Democrat, who cares? This is about standing up for decency. That's what it's about. So we'll see what they do. We'll see how it goes. People reporting the cops are on the scene. Unless cops are arresting people, means nothing. Now, you've heard me say this many times. The world is crazy. But we don't have to be. That's why I state quite clearly that if you're not crazy, you remove these people from the streets and you allow traffic to flow. The world is crazy, but we do not have to be. That's why we engage the TK Thursday Music Moment. We take a moment, we take a beat, we take a breath, and we need it. Because, man, there's a lot of crazy out there. The TK Thursday Music Moment brought to you by Kill A Dent Removal, killadentremoval.com, hail damage repair, paintless dent removal, door ding repair, mobile dent repair. They have got you covered. You can have your car looking absolutely fantastic. Killadentremoval.com. I went to 1982 this year because I don't think I've ever done anything from the Steve Miller Band. I'm like, yeah, I'll probably do. So roll down the windows. I know it's a little chilly right now. Step away from the madness. Don't worry. We're keeping our eyes on all of this. Take a moment to breathe, and then we'll get back to work. Even in the midst of the crazy, you got to take a moment. It's important. 1982, Steve Miller Band, Abracadabra, let's go.
Let the fire get higher.
As I said, the world is crazy, but we don't have to be. A little break, take a beat, make it all right. Right now, we're following what's going on Meridian. Seem like a large group of people that have decided to block traffic on Meridian. But that part doesn't matter. It'll be a larger group tomorrow if force is not used to set things straight. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. You've got these anti-Semitic, or I should say these Jew-hating and America-hating bigots blocking traffic on Meridian in front of the governor's mansion. Stop arming Israel. Divest now. These people aren't about the poor, poor Gazans. These people are about the elimination of Israel. They are what they are. And not only are they Jew-hating, they are America-hating. This is who they are. Just for the sake of clarity. You do not allow these people to impede the traffic flow of Hoosiers. You stop it immediately. Just like at the University of Texas Austin, as they decided we're going to have protests and support Hamas. University of Texas said, yeah, this, you don't get to do encampments on campus. We don't allow this. And Texas police came in and started arresting people. And the protesters were shocked. How dare you let them go? Who do you think you are? Well, there's going to be some order, people, because we don't allow these things. I'm texting with a friend in New Jersey who's listening to the show. How do you get this to stop? What do you mean how do you get this to stop? Stop sending your kids to Columbia and Harvard. Yeah, but that's not many students, not many places. All right, then now do University of Michigan and Northwestern. Stop it. There's a whole conversation about whether kids are paying attention, saying, I don't want to be any part of this. Then there are these people who are saying, hey, come to college in the South. We're not like that. Well, neither are state schools. It doesn't seem like the state-run schools are having these issues yet. But I don't think the issue is, hey, send your kid to school in the South. Hey, send your kid to school in the Midwest. But I don't know if that's an answer. How do you decide that's an answer if you haven't actually diagnosed the problem? What makes you think that the radical professor isn't in Indiana or in Iowa or in Oklahoma? Your issue is the system and an insane reliance on the system. You have to break that. Some of these universities have to go and these professors have to be out of jobs. You have to break that. And what makes you think sending them to a school like Ole Miss is going to somehow fix everything? You're hoping for a lot there. You've got the Supreme Court talking about the Trump case. I will break that down, and I'll have the latest at noon on Tony Katz today. Right now.